All right, we're taking our text from 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no one despise your youth. Look at your neighbor and say, be an example.
Be an example.
How many realize every one of us were called to be an example?
Yes.
Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul's given us some instruction here concerning six different areas that he says that we're supposed to be an example to everyone else. Because your life can and should make a difference. Let me hear everybody say amen.
Amen.
Your life can and should make a difference. The first one he says is in word. Everybody say what you say.
What you say.
Solomon wrote and said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. How many have found out that the word of God has instructed you and I to build up one another? Your words are so powerful. You will either be an encourager or, unfortunately, you'll be a discourager. How many have had somebody discourage you by just a word that they spoke? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They can say something and it can just bring you down. Death and life is the power of the tongue. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. He said for us to only use words that are wholesome for the purpose of encouragement. He actually uses a terminology, a verbiage that I think we will get here real quick. He said your words can be a gift. Wow. How many want your words to be a gift to somebody? You want to be a person that has the ability to change somebody's life with just encouraging them. Have you ever gone into a place of business and had somebody be so obnoxious to you?
Yes.
So rude. And your response maybe would have been real quick to just turn around and tell them how you feel about it. But if you'll ever take that moment and turn it around, you have no idea what happened that caused that individual to feel that bad. Many times I've had people do that, and my flesh wants to rise up, but I will take a hold of myself and I will ask them, is there any way that I can pray with you? Can I just encourage you today? It's going to get better. You know, I've watched their countenance change every single day. Your words carry power. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Carries power. It's so important. He also said to be an example in your conduct. I'm going to need somebody to down key it back there if you would, please. There it is. Conduct. Everybody say behave yourself.
Behave yourself.
How you conduct yourself. How many know that people are watching you? People are watching you. People see. People are looking at how you live your life and what type of life you're living. They're watching how you deal with circumstances in your life. They're watching you. How many realize that how we are in here should be how we are out there?
Yes.
Come on, we don't put on our church best, come into God's house and be Christian here, and then leave here and behave a different way. Matthew 5 tells us that we're to be both light and salt. Light should shine forth in a very dark world, and salt ought to be an influencer. How many believe that God's called us to influence? How you behave as a child of God will determine what you do as far as impacting those. How many realize we're here to impact?
Yes.
How many believe that we are the hope for the world? Amen. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are the church. Nothing will stop the church. Amen.
Yes.
Number three, love. Everybody say, have a heart. The scripture tells us that we're not only to love in word. It's cheap to say, I love you, but it's real to show it. The Bible says not only to love in word, but to love in deed. This past week, before this past week, many of you showed your love for our youth, even many of the youth that you don't even know. You invested sacrificially into the lives of our youth by sponsoring children to be able to go to camp. You didn't even know some of them that you were sponsoring. Many of them you probably didn't. But you saw a need and you stepped forward and you gave into that. That's an expression of love. You didn't just say, I love the youth. How many believe in youth?
Yes.
Paul's instruction was, don't despise the youth. Set an example. Be a role model so that everyone can see. Just to say, oh, I love is one thing. but to go to the next step. The Bible says if we love, how can we shut up the bowels of our compassion, or in other words, dam up the supply that God has put in us? How many know there's a real secret to this? If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Amen. God never blesses that he does not expect for you and I to take who we are and what we have to now influence and benefit somebody else. Every one of us knows somebody that could use our help in times of need. Amen. And how you love is not just saying, you know, I love you. That's good. But how you love can be demonstrated in what you do. Amen. Has to be action. Amen, church. But the next one, he says, is in spirit. To love in spirit. Down key it, please. There we are. Spirit, who you are. How many realize this spirit is not, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit. This is talking about the spirit that got born again. That spirit that got saved. That spirit that Paul talked about was dead and separated from God. It's what died in the Garden of Eden. It died when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit. Their spirit died and they were separated from the relationship with God. Jesus Christ made a way. Everybody say he's a way maker. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, you were dead in your sins. He has now quickened you. That word means to be revived. He gave life to your spirit, and your spirit now is alive. How many realize this body that we live in is nothing more than a shell? It is a house. It tabernacles the presence of God and our spirit, who you really are. Amen. That's why even though our flesh changes in time, we call it maturity. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. It changes, but your spirit remains the same. That's who you are. And so what he's saying is be an example of who you are all the time, 24/7. Amen. I'm a Christian every day. How many realize we're anointed every day? Amen. We're anointed every day. You're anointed to do what you're doing, and I'm anointed to do what I'm doing. But every one of us have the presence of God who are born again. We have God's presence, God's spirit on the inside anointing us so that we can live for him. Amen. So that we can be the example that God wants us to be. So he said that we're to be an example with our spirit. And then he told us to be an example in our faith. Can you guys advance it, please? There it is. Somebody is. I didn't click it. Somebody is. I didn't click it. Faith. Everybody say fully trust. You know, when you're going through a difficult time, how you trust God is an example to others. How you can believe that God's going to take you through whatever you're going through. Other people are watching you. They're looking at how you face your storms, how you face your difficulties. Do you face that difficulty with a knowledge that God's got this and that God's going to take me through and I can do all things and I'm more than a conqueror and greater is he that's in me? Do you face your difficulties with a knowledge? How many realize that when we give our tithe and our offerings, we do that trusting God? Somebody said, well, I don't have to give tithing. You're right. You get to. You have the wonderful privilege of showing everyone that I'm going to trust God. Everybody say, I'm trusting God. I'm going to trust God that he's going to make a way. I'm going to trust God that he's going to take me through. And I'm going to trust God that I can do everything that God's called me to do. I'm going to trust him. People are watching your faith. How many realize the world is looking for the genuine Christianity? How many believe that? They're not looking for phoniness. They're not looking for hypocrisy. Somebody said, well, don't they have a lot of hypocrites in church? And to that I would say, that's true. They probably do. We probably do. There's always room for another one. Come join us. But I want you to know the world is looking for the real deal. They're looking for people that are really trusting God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, when a doctor tells you something you didn't want to hear and you're going to hold on to God, the world's watching. Other people are watching. Amen? So he says to be an example in your faith. When you say, I trust God, that's not just a mere statement. It must be the attitude of your heart. Amen. It must be who you are. It's just like us as we're supposed to be happy believers. And I'm looking around a lot of happiness here this morning. You guys have heard me say this. If you're happy, would you please notify your face? Amen. God's called us to be a chosen generation. A royal priesthood will do what? Show forth the praises of God, who will exercise their faith in the Lord. The Bible said that we are being changed from faith to faith every time you've trusted God to carry you to the next step in your life. Let's look at the last one. Could you advance it, please? Purity, which equals holiness. I used to have a misconception because the Bible says without holiness, no man will see God. And that troubled me just a little bit, because when I begin to think about the holiness of God, I recognize real quickly in and of myself, I don't measure that at all. Because I used to think that holiness was everything I did, everything I wore, everything I didn't do, every place I wouldn't go. Is anybody with me this morning? Everything I said, everything I didn't say. I thought all of those things determined holiness. And I understand that holiness is a gift. The Bible said he imputed to me, he credited to me his position of being right. In fact, the Bible says everything he is, so are we in this world. How many realize he paid the ultimate sacrifice as a complete and total substitute so that everything he was, we could be? Otherwise, we are today miserably lost in our sin. But he took the sin away from us. John says in chapter 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that does what? He takes away the sins of the world. I know the enemy lies to you, tries to tell you that you're not worthy, tries to tell you you're not good. And listen, the truth of the matter is, if it was just up to us, that would be correct. But Jesus Christ became everything, taking everything upon himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. So we have been made holy and pure. Now, because of that, amen, because of that, it's not what I do that saves me, but because I'm saved, therefore I do. You guys with me? Amen. It's changed how I live my life. Amen. Because I know now that as a child of God, there is an expectation, a deposit of God's presence was put in my life for me to show forth as an example. So I have to bring my flesh. Don't you? Does anybody here still struggle with your flesh? Yes. How many hit the snooze alarm this morning at least once? Yeah. Though that hey, how many know that's flesh, right? What? Yeah, well, you wouldn't think you would need an alarm on Sunday, but you know what I'm talking about, right? The reality is we still have a flesh that we live in. Amen. But God's given us victory, and so we have to take responsibility now with who we are in Christ, because we really want to make a difference. I don't need a show of hands, but how many say I blew it this last week? A lot. Several times. Let me see. Come on. Many people, we recognize that. But see, God is there to make up our lack. One more time. Advance it, please. Everybody say, invest yourself in other people. I want to thank you guys for those who sponsored. I don't know how many sponsored, but we had 47 teenagers go to camp this last week. 47. You might say, well, why is that significant? Camp is an important part in our young people. It's really, really important. At camp, I'm looking to see where Josh is. There's Josh back there. Hi, Josh. Josh may be asleep. I did see that on Facebook, by the way. He was asleep. Josh said that when he went to camp this week, it was so out of his comfort zone. It was so out of what Josh Josh would normally do and where Josh would normally be, the effort that he made. And what I really loved, Wednesday night we took a bunch of us and we went up to youth camp, and one of the things that really struck me, and I love this, not just for the fact that Adrian was thrilled to see Josh after not seeing or talking to him for several days, but when they were in the service, what I really loved is I saw both of them as they were holding hands in service, and I saw the other hand extended to heaven, and they were worshiping God with everything they are. I loved that. Listen, when they go to camp, when our young people go to camp, they encounter God in a very, very real way. This camp, what was really special about it, it didn't seem like it at the time, for probably some of them when they first got out there, but they were totally disconnected. They could not connect to Wi-Fi at all. They could not text one another. They could not Instagram. They could not Twitter. They could not Facebook. You know what they had to resort to do? They had to talk one-on-one to one another. It was amazing. They were totally disconnected. You know what was wonderful? Is while they were disconnected, God connected with them. And they had a genuine God encounter. You say, well, how do you know that? Because we've watched kids go to camp year after year. Everybody say, invest in people. Year after year after year, I've watched young people go to camp, and I've watched them have encounters with God where they have surrendered their life to the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Many of pastors today were called into ministry while they were at youth camps. Many of evangelists today were called into ministry. Many children leaders today, many youth pastors today, many Sunday school teachers today, many worship leaders today, they were called while they were in an encounter with God at youth camp. All because you made a difference. All because, I love this, I heard stories of how young people on their own, because they had to raise their finances to go, and on their own they made goods and went down to like Walmart and different places, and they sold goods just to be able to go to youth camp. I love that. Give God a hand clap of praise. I love that. You know, see, because of your investment, how many believe this is good ground? How many believe PBFC is good ground? Amen. That this is good place to place your harvest, your seed. So you place your seed so you can receive a harvest, to place your giving. Because of that, we are able every month to support the missionaries in the Philippines. Every month, we send an offering to the Macedonian area where we send and bless them with a missions offering. Every month, we send to an orphanage in India because of your giving. Every month, we support the Oroville Rescue Mission. Why? Because you invest your dollars here and we're able to do what we do. Listen to me, if God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. When you invest, how many believe people are worth your investment? When you invest, you say, well, I didn't even know the kids. You know, our seniors donated money into youth ministries just so that the youth could send one or two individuals to youth camp. And so many of you, I was able to see that you turned around and gave monies into donating these young people to go. And I just want you to know, it was worth your investment. Everybody say, people matter. Do you know, every service that we have, we count. We count every single service. Now, part of that is so that we always know where we're at and where we're going. But one of the reasons, and we've done this long before I was the pastor of PBFC, back in my pastorate before this week, we counted people. And the reason we've always done that, we count people because people count. You matter. You make a difference. Blew me away. Daniel, make your way if you would, please. Blew me away years ago when God allowed me to really catch this. When I finally grasped the love of God, how many realize you got to really catch that by revelation? When I really understood that God loved me. See, I had a good idea that God loved people. I understood John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I could catch the understanding that God died for the world. But I'll tell you the truth, I had a hard time getting that God died for me. Anybody with me at all? See, I could grasp how God could die for his creation. But I want you to know, God loves you. Individually. Corporately, of course. But God loves you. When I finally got the revelation, because see, the truth of the matter is, many times we don't think that highly of ourselves, do we? When I finally grasped the concept that if I was all there was, that Jesus Christ would have still hung on Calvary and died for me. Can I tell you, that revelation changed me. It changed me. When I realized just how much God loved me. Can I tell you, he's no respecter of person. You might say, but Pastor, you have no clue where I've been, what I've done. You have no clue how much I've rejected the Lord, how many things that God's tried to bring me to, and I've pushed. And can I tell you, it has not changed his love. Here's what I've come to understand. I had to learn these things. See, by me learning them, I'm hoping to give them to you so you don't have to take as much time as it's taken for me to get here. I had to finally come to the place where I understood there's nothing that I could ever do that would ever cause God to love me any more than he does. And I also had to understand there's nothing that I've ever done that could ever cause God to love me any less. Wow. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? So then you have to take it one step farther. Then if God's love is identical for every individual, then you can look around right here and know that there's not one person in this room that God loves any more or any less. You may say, well, I know God loves me more. No, it's not true. Then you have to understand that there's not anyone out in the world that God loves any less than you. You might say, what about the one that's selling herself on the streets? God loves her just like she loves, like God loves you. What about that addict? What about all those drug pushers? What about them? What about all those that harm children? What? Come on, we can go real deep here, can't we? The reality is God loves people. Why do we, as our mandate, understand at PBFC what our responsibility is? God told us. He was very clear, wasn't he? He said, I want you first to do what? Love God. Love God with everything possible. Love him with all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, all your soul. In other words, put God first. Tell your neighbor, put God first. And then he said that second commandment is just like the first. I want you to love people. That's it. That's the message, isn't it? Love God, love people. That's the message. That's the message. That's why for us as a church, we'll embrace everyone, won't we? Amen. We'll embrace everyone. You say, yeah, are you really ready to embrace everyone? Yep. Amen. You say you're going to love what they do? Nope. No, I'm not. I won't love their sin, but I'll love the sinner. Amen. Amen. What were you and I before Christ? We were that sinner that needed God to show his love to. Is anybody glad for the love of God? Stand with me. Go ahead, guys. We thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy today, God. We thank you that you've called us, that you've set us together in heavenly places, that you deposited your spirit into us as born-again believers. You've set us free from sin and death. You've justified us by faith. in that, God, you made us as though what we were, we are no longer. You've said that we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has arrived. You established for us a personal relationship between you and us, taking out of the way the sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning. You've come in as a guest into our service, and maybe you've heard the message, and maybe you've known about God, but you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ. Maybe your family's been in church, and you may have even at times thought, I don't want anything to do with this. But yet while you're here this morning, you recognize a pull, something that's tugging at your heart. Maybe you're listening to this message on the internet. You thought it was a coincidence, just a chance that you got this message sent to you, or you just happened onto our website. I want you to know that God purposed you to hear this word. You may say, well, nobody's ever invited me to receive Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to make a decision today that will change your life. I'm inviting you to not just know about Jesus. I'm inviting you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't even know how to do that. Our congregation is about ready to pray in a moment. If you'd like to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, by doing that, you're going to declare that He is Lord and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that, you just simply pray a prayer with us. It's very simple, but I must tell you, this prayer must become your prayer. Don't just talk from your lips, but pray from your innermost. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. The Bible says, without repentance and without the blood, there can be no forgiveness. The word repent simply means to change your mind, to turn from so that you can turn to. So I'm asking you to do that today, to let go of some things so you can grab onto God. If you're ready to pray with us, our congregation is going to pray, and I invite you. You over the internet, you may say, well, this is a recording. That's all right. You can still pray. It is just as powerful, just as significant. In fact, we're believing, I hope this congregation is believing with me, that this message will go many, many miles beyond this building to touch lives everywhere. Pray with me, church. Heavenly Father, I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and as my Lord. Come into my life. Forgive me of all sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. From this day forward, I surrender all that I am to a living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, bless this house, every individual, every family, every house, every single person. God, we pray your very best upon them. We know that your word said that we are blessed coming in and blessed going out, that we have been called to be above and not below. In fact, your word said that whatever we put our hand to, that you would prosper it. God, I pray for the prosperity of whatever we put our hand forth. You anointed us to succeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise today. If you'd like special prayer this morning,